The founding fathers acknowledged that our Creator has endowed us with the right to life. But of course, the right to life in America has been greatly damaged by the whole abortion ethic. But recently, the Trump administration has engaged in some pro-life measures. To get an update on this, we're going to talk with Nicole Hunt of the Focus on the Family. In fact, she serves as the life issue analyst. Nicole Hunt is an attorney and serves as a writer and spokesperson at Focus on the Family. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Nicole, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. And before we get directly into contemporary politics and so forth, how about just a quick comment on the significance of the fact that our national birth certificate, that is the Declaration of Independence, says that the Creator has created us and has endowed us with our rights. And among these are the right to life. The very first right listed is the right to life. Does abortion in any way, is it at war with that right to life in our national charter?
Well, I think you said the key word. We are endowed by our Creator, which means that any law that man creates to try to take away life is at odds with the Creator and his creation. So abortion certainly is something that cannot be and is not promoted by our Creator, who has endowed us with life. And it's something that we can take much pride in, knowing that it's not the government that bestows the right to life upon us. It is our Creator. And for that's why we fight, right? That's the reason why we fight for life, is that we know that it's not up to the government to decide who gets to have life. That is the Creator's decision.
Obviously, different politicians disagree with each other on the subject of abortion. And in fact, I've often held the theory that, my goodness, if a politician tends to get the abortion issue right, that is being pro-life, they tend to get everything else right. And if they get it wrong, they tend to get everything else wrong. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
I think that there are a lot of politicians who start with the right reasons, and then they become very influenced by a lot of different maybe polling statistics or risks that they might lose their position. And so some of them can sometimes hem and haw over what the right position is. But it's my position that most voters respect politicians who are convictionally whatever they are. They don't move with the sway of public opinion. They are convictional about what they believe to be true. And for pro-life voters, of course, I think that they are moved by politicians who stand their ground and who are unwilling to waver based on political opinion. And I actually think those in the middle who aren't that sure about what they believe, but they do have convictions, they respect politicians who are willing to stand on their convictions. So I hope more politicians will stand on their convictions for pro-life issues, because we need them now more than ever.
And they say that money is kind of like the mother's milk of politics or whatever. It's certainly very important. And obviously the pro-abortion forces have a lot of money, because there's a lot of money made in abortion. Does money play a key role, do you think, in terms of politics and abortion?
Absolutely. We've seen that play out in the abortion amendment debates and elections these last several years, since Dobbs overruled the Roe case and the abortion mandate in, or I should say, the abortion permissive language in the Constitution. And so what we've seen play out in a lot of states where there was moderate pro-life laws on the books, the pro-abortion industry went after the, usually it's the mushy middle voter, but they use dollars for their messaging campaigns in order to try to pass constitutional amendments that were far, far more pro-abortion than any of the laws that were on the books. And sadly, they've been very effective in almost all of the states. Thankfully, we saw in 2024 was the first time where we were able to actually, the pro-life movement was actually able to stop these abortion amendments and to preserve life to varying degrees, but to preserve life in state law and to reject very, very pro-abortion language in the constitutions and state constitutions. But we need to stay vigilant because the problem in these cases was that money allowed for messaging. And the messaging is what told the narrative to the voter. And did it spin lies? Yes, it did. Did it tell the truth and, you know, try to persuade others that it was about reproductive freedom rather than a simple issue of the right to life for preborn babies? Yes, it misled many, many voters. And so there's a lot of work to do. It takes money to message and to change culture and to change hearts and minds. And so the pro-life movement has a lot of work ahead of it, but we take heart and we have hope because we know that we have the truth on our side.
Donald Trump has been surprisingly pro-life. I remember seeing a clip one time where I guess he was on Larry King Live, maybe around 1990, and he said, I'm as pro-choice as, you know, anybody can be. I'm pro, 100% pro-choice. And now the so-called pro-choice people, the pro-abortion rights people, they hate Donald Trump, and they certainly hate his politics. And his administration has been surprisingly pro-life.
It is interesting. I, you know what? Sometimes you just chalk things up to, I think that was a God thing. And I think that the Lord probably brought people into Donald Trump's life who are pro-life. I know Vice President Vance, he's always been very pro-life in his political life. He's been marching at Marches for Life and even before he became vice president. And so I also know Charlie Kirk was a real force for life, for the life ethic. For Donald Trump. And so I know that the Lord put key people into his life who've influenced him and his perspective. And all I can say is thank God. And I hope that that encourages folks who are involved in politics, even tangentially, to continue to be an influence for life because it makes a difference. Even if you're not the decision maker, you are influencing decision makers. And that makes a difference.
And one person I think that does deserve some credit on this point. I know there are some who are critical of everything this about him, but Mike Pence, in the early days of the whole Trump movement, when Trump was running for president, he helped President Trump, you know, seal the deal with lots and lots of Christians. And Mike Pence had actually worked in some sort of pro-life capacity in Indiana before he even, you know, ever got involved as a congressman and so forth in politics. But anyway, now let's talk about today. Around the time of the March for Life, there's a couple of policy changes that have been encouraging to pro-life Americans that have come out from the Trump administration. Go ahead and take your time to explain these two. We have about 7 minutes left. Go ahead.
Oh, perfect. So two big things, and what they really represent is a clear and consistent principle that Americans do not want to spend their tax dollars funding abortion or promoting abortion, whether that's at home or overseas. And so I'll talk about the first policy has to do with the National Institute of Health. And with that, what we had was previous administrations were allowing taxpayer funding for research of human fetal tissue that was derived from elective abortions. And so under this new policy, they're saying, no, this is no longer going to be allowed. It is now prohibited to use baby tissue that from elective abortions in taxpayer-funded abortion. And that's not just policy for research within the National Institute of Health, but that's actually now also applicable to universities and research organizations who receive grant money from NIH. So this is so great. It's so consistent with the ethical belief about life. And of course, we believe that all of these babies that have been aborted, whether it was elective or consented by the aborting mother, that these are individual unique lives. And a lot of these moms, regardless of consent, might not actually realize that what they're doing is using that baby's fetal tissue to try to come up with cures for different diseases, but using that baby's tissue and in a really unethical way. And so this is consistent with the pro-life ethic. Very, very happy to see that the administration is moving this direction and will no longer allow aborted baby fetal tissue.
All right, let me jump in here. I'm sure, Nicole, you remember about, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever, it was 2015. There were these series of exposés produced by David Daleiden where they went undercover and they basically showed that baby body parts are being preserved from abortion facilities in order to make lots and lots of money. So on the one hand, Planned Parenthood would say to a woman thinking of having an abortion, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a blob of tissue. It's just a clump of cells. On the other hand, they're turning around and selling baby hearts and baby brains and baby this part and baby that part for research. And what you're saying is that with a new move from the president, the NIH-supported research will not be engaged in those baby body parts being sold for research. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yep. Federal dollars cannot be used for research on any aborted baby fetal parts.
Which therefore undermines the incentive for engaging in such ghoulish things. But it's amazing, by the way, that poor guy got crucified for making his films and, got a tremendous amount of punishment. But in the end, maybe he helped move the needle on this debate.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I want to mention the other one. So the other policy is called the Mexico City policy. And that's just because Ronald Reagan, when he came up with the policy, he was in Mexico City. But the policy, what it does is that it would prohibit any funding related to health, reproductive health, that goes abroad from going to organizations that would perform or promote abortion. And so this has been a longstanding policy that usually presidents who are pro-life would put it into place, and then those who are not pro-life, they rescind it. And what the Trump administration did in January that's so pivotal is that they actually not only still have this policy in place, but they're not making it only applicable to human reproductive policy and aid. They're making it applicable to all foreign aid. And when we're talking all foreign aid, we're talking $40 billion worth of aid. And so we're talking about any organization that could, it with other dollars, potentially promote or perform abortions, those organizations would no longer be allowed to accept foreign aid from the United States. And so it's a ban that places serious conditions on how U.S. tax dollars are spent. It's not a matter of, are you using our tax dollars to promote abortion or are you using our tax dollars to perform abortion? It's if you use any dollars to do that, you can no longer accept foreign aid from the U.S. And what's even more exciting and interesting about it is that they actually expanded the program to not only be about abortion, but if they promote DEI or act with DEI policies, or if they promote transgender ideology or have transgender ideology programs, then they are also prohibited from receiving any foreign aid from the government. So it's very vast, very expansive, and very, very pro-life. It's going to protect so many children around the world.
Okay, we have 40 seconds left in this discussion. Nicole, make the case. Why should we all be pro-life? Why should we even care about this issue?
You know what? I believe that if we believe that humans begin as a human in the womb, and then there are human when they're outside of the womb, there are human rights that attach to that baby from the moment that it's fertilized. And this is something that we can agree on, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If it's a human being that lives in that womb, then it's a human being and it deserves to have human rights, including the right to life. Now, if you're in an audience with fellow believers, then we also know that that baby's is made in the image of God, and that starts from the moment of fertilization. And so we are fighting not just for a human right to life, but to protect an innocent person made in the image of God.
All right. FocusOnTheFamily.com for more information. Nicole Hunt, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.